You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man and being a country megastar while also having seven kids. You know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Hey, everybody.
Hello, friends. Welcome back.
I'm Diana.
And I'm Eli.
And this is Ridiculous Romance.
The future episode alert read yesterday about a thruple of bald eagles.
Ooh.
Yeah, two males and a female that are raising eggs together. They have been for years, so that's coming. Don't you worry, because they're my new best friends. Wait, I haven't checked my lotto ticket. I'm going to do it live. This will be the first podcast where I win the lot, where someone wins the lottery live on air.
Okay.
I mean,
I'm ready.
Look,
we're not live on air, by the way.
Spoiler alert, if you're hearing this, I didn't win because we would immediately stop recording and quit our jobs.
Oh, my God. No, we wouldn't.
No, but we wouldn't be rushing.
That's true.
I can tell you that.
I guess I'm
We'd say, hang on a second. Here's a rerun. And my tickets. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Did you win? I mean, did we win?
Yeah,
I should
first
say.
Of all, check yourself there. Because you almost set yourself up with a problem.
I know.
64. I got it. That's it. Just the 64.
How much do you get for one number?
You don't get anything
Nothing.
For one number.
Well, that doesn't seem very fair.
There's lots of numbers. Anybody can get one of them. Well, then I guess we're doing this. Get to it. Yeah, today comes a story of a couple who have regularly been called the modern day Bonnie and Clyde in countless media articles. Mm. But honestly, it's not really a great comparison. Firstly, I think because, spoiler alert, they never murdered anyone.
Oh, it's sort Bonnie of a big Clyde part of Bonnie and Clyde's story.
Yeah. No, this couple starts with Craig Pritchard, who was a former baseball star turned bank robber in the 1990s, whose heists were so well planned that he just could not be caught. But the most precious thing he ever stole was the heart of Nova Guthrie.
Ooh.
She was so love-struck by this charismatic criminal that she joined him, and together they raked in nearly $500,000 in the late 90s.
Ooh.
So, stick them up, let me see those hands, and then let me see you clap them together for today's story in Lawless Lovebirds.
Let's go!
Hey there, friends, come listen well. Eli and Diana got some stories to tell. There's no matchmaking or romantic tips. It's just about ridiculous relationships. A lover might be any type of person at all, an abstract concept or a concrete wall. But if there's a story worth a second glance, we'll put it in Ridiculous Romance,
a production of iHeartRadio. The Heart of Nova Guthrie sounds like an Oprah book club novel.
The Heart of Nova Guthrie. Now a major motion picture from what's Reese Witherspoon's production company?
I don't know, but I was that's also thinking ones, Reese Witherspoon.
They're the ones who do it.
I was like, whoever made Where the Crawdads Sing, I feel like they also make The Heart of Nova
the
Guthrie.
The Heart of Nova Guthrie. Well, we'll get to her. Craig Pritchard was born in 1962 and he grew up in Scottsdale, Arizona. And this guy was tall, he was handsome, he was athletic, and in 1983, after an amazing high school season of baseball, he was signed to Arizona State University. The guy had his whole life laid out for him. He was told, like, you're the best baseball player, you're really going places, you're a superstar, Craig Pritchard. And so he was sure that he was going on to make big bucks in the major leagues. He went ahead and got engaged to his high school sweetheart, the homecoming queen and head cheerleader, Lori Pulzado. So these guys, just your cliche, perfect high school couple.
Mm-hmm.
Handsome jock, hot cheerleader.
I can read the Sports Illustrated profile in my head right now.
So could he. He was ready for it. Probably had all his questions pre-answered.
Yeah, I was practicing his interviews in the mirror.
So Craig is totally on track for stardom, but during his first year at Arizona State, some new kid showed up and started hogging all the attention that had previously been Craig's.
Mm.
And this kid's name was Barry Bonds.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Damn.
Right?
Well, listen, Barry Bonds was, of course, an incredible athlete. We all know that name for a reason. By the time he was in high school, he could basically take his pick of baseball, basketball, or football.
Wow.
And I'm sure Craig was like, okay, go with basketball, bro.
Right, yeah.
Leave the field for me.
You can play anything.
But Barry played baseball on the varsity team starting his sophomore year. By the time he was a senior in 1982, he had been drafted to play for the Giants straight out of high school.
Which is crazy. I didn't know that happened.
I did not either.
I don't follow sports well enough.
But they could not come to an agreement on a contract. So Barry said, you know what? Y'all think about it. I'm going to college.
Mm. So having his pick of schools, he ended up at Arizona State. And it wasn't long before Craig Pritchard was just another nobody backing up the star player, Barry Bonds.
Damn.
Craig was a little proud. He could not handle losing out to Barry Bonds like this. And he felt like his future was being stolen from him.
Mm.
So he dropped out of school after only a year and ended up going back to Scottsdale. And there he married Lori Pulzado. And they had three kids together over the next 6 years. Now, he could have transferred to another school. He could have played baseball somewhere else. But his wife, Lori, told Max Alexander of Reader's Digest, quote, he had no patience.
It's not a great quality for an athlete.
No, like, yeah, right.
You have to have quite a lot of patience.
Especially baseball. God, yeah, you got to have patience just to watch baseball,
oh my God,
let alone play
it's
it.
So long. Well, Craig worked odd jobs to keep his family afloat, but he still had these big ambitions. He spent most of his life thinking he was going to be a rich baseball player, and he was not ready to give up the rich part of those dreams.
Right. Well, I'll drop out of school being a baseball player, but damn it, I'm still going to be rich.
I want all the fancy stuff. But baseball, you know, is what he had put all of his focus and energy into when he was young, so he was not really sure how to start over. So he fell into some get-rich-quick schemes. Mm. This led to gambling, which led to small-time scams. And none of that, obviously, was paying off for him. It was not getting him the big bucks he was looking for. So he decided to get his life together and really dedicate himself to a skill that could earn him a decent living.
Okay, there you go.
He was going to be a bank robber.
Oh.
Look at me now, Ma.
They said I couldn't make it. Lori, his wife, soon learned that not only was Craig breaking the law, but he had actually been doing it almost the whole time she knew him.
Oh.
She said, quote, I found out that in high school, he was stealing tires off cars at fancy dealerships and then selling them at a swap meet the next day.
Mm.
Not only that, but Craig had been cheating on her. And not subtly. Like, he was, as Max Alexander wrote, quote, a controlling, manipulative person who craved danger.
Mm.
And this guy got off on flaunting his infidelities to his wife. At one point, he was even hanging out with another woman in a hot tub at their own apartment complex.
Dang.
Lori was working full-time as a bank teller and raising their three kids, But Craig was out there stealing and cheating and living it up however he wanted. She even saw him cruising around town in a silver Porsche Carrera, which of course they did not own a Porsche Carrera because they didn't have money.
She's like, where did you get that? Interesting. This sounds like a real piece of shit.
Yeah. Not husband of the year.
Not husband of the year at all.
Yeah.
How crazy to like be in a hot tub right there.
Yeah.
He really wanted her to catch him.
Oh, he wanted her to know. Yeah.
What a jerk.
Yeah.
Well, fortunately, Lori separated from Craig. She called the whole man disposal services and got rid of him. And he ended up following the money to Las Vegas in 1990 and robbed two banks just outside the city. Now, if you're unfamiliar, Clark County and the city of Las Vegas take their money pretty seriously.
Yeah.
All right. Sort of a big deal there.
Right.
They kind of pay pretty close attention to it.
I'm saying if there's anywhere I'm not going to steal from,
all right,
it's Las Vegas.
Now, Craig had fled to Hawaii after robbing the banks, but he was arrested there and picked out of a lineup by one of the bank tellers that he robbed. Well, he got shipped back to Arizona and he was sentenced to 5 years in a jail there. And his ex-wife, Lori, back home near Scottsdale with their three children, told New York Times in a phone interview, quote, "It's so sad. Those kids are the only good thing he ever did." And they divorced that same year.
Oof. It was 1992 by the time he started his five-year prison sentence. And while in prison, you can imagine that he really had a lot of time to think about what he'd done, you know, about the choices that he'd made and the future he was providing for his family, about his hopes, his dreams and ambitions, and how maybe if he'd put his talents and efforts into something besides bank robbing, he might actually find a happy, comfortable life after all.
Hmm.
You can imagine that all you want, but that's, of course, not actually what Craig did. Instead, as FBI agent Edward Hall told Unsolved Mysteries, quote, "He met other people that had robbed banks in jail, and they exchanged thoughts, ideas, ways to perfect robbing a bank better next time."
Oh, damn.
You know, giving each other some loot lessons, some burglary basics.
Welcome to Burglary Basics 101.
Some heist hints.
White collar workshop.
Yeah.
White collar crime workshop.
The crime...
Crime classes.
Crime classes.
Crime college.
Crime college. Welcome to crime college.
It's a crime community college, okay? We're a community here.
Yes. Amazing. This seems like a big problem with the jail system.
It's a two-year degree.
It's like sending everyone to crime college where we learn from each other.
I think we have come across that before, or yep, at least seen it in some research or something where I'm like, man, it's almost like you send them to jail and they learn how to do it better instead of learn how to, they like meet connections that help them like make do more crimes later.
So how'd you get caught? Well, I did this wrong. And you? I did that wrong. Well, then I know two things not to do wrong next time.
Well, and also it's like a big conference.
Sure.
It's basically everyone at the same hotel exchanging best practices.
Right. Are you going to make it to Larry's 2:30 panel on jewel thievery? Oh, no. I'm going to be at the art heist workshop.
Oh, I want it. Let's exchange notes afterwards.
Yeah. The commissary.
All right. So he's learning some burglary basics in prison. When Craig got out of jail in 1997, obviously, he had nothing. His wife had left him. He had no job. Now he did have something, which was a prison record. Nothing
well, yeah,
useful.
Fair.
So he was kind of like, ugh, what am I going to do? So to make up for the time he lost as a result of robbing banks, he decided to rob banks.
Oh.
Really doubling down here.
Oh, man.
Now, one time when visiting with his kids, he told his ex-wife's new husband, John, that robbery was his drug of choice, saying, quote, "There is no better high," and relating the feeling that he got before a heist to the minutes before a big baseball game.
Oh, okay.
Well, now it was time for Craig to get another hit of that sweet, sweet drug.
Mm.
Because on August 13th, 1997, according to the East Valley Tribune, Craig robbed Norwest Banks in Scottsdale of $32,000, which today is actually worth, let's see here, put in the calculator, almost $60,000,
wow,
almost double today. His ex-wife, Lori, worked as a teller at a Norwest bank in the nearby town of Mesa, And she told police she did not think it was a coincidence that he chose Norwest to rob.
Oh, wow. It was just another opportunity for him to...
like, flaunt.
Yeah,
I guess, in front of her face.
Make her uncomfortable, yeah.
Very rude. Craig escaped with a diversion of setting a car on fire and then driving away in another getaway car. Police came close to catching him. There was even a chase through a luxury shopping mall. But in the end, all they found was his car, strewn with loose cash and a broken tracking device.
From there, he fled to New Mexico and ended up in a bar in the small city of Farmington. He's at this bar and he's chatting it up with a local guy. He's talking baseball, telling war stories, you know, how he almost played for the majors if Barry Bonds hadn't come in.
Damn, Barry Bonds.
Right? And that's a cool story. I mean, the guy's probably like, whoa, Barry Bonds stole your thunder. That's wild.
I know. Well, and he did play with Barry.
Yeah, right. So this guy thought he was pretty cool and he introduced him to his sister, a young woman named Nova Guthrie. The two of them took one look and went full googly-eyed, awooga, awooga, boy-yo-yoing, head over heels horny for each other. They were like, oh my God, you're so hot. She's like, wow, you're real hot too. Those are their voices.
She
pretty good.
Sounds kind of great.
Well, he asked her on a date and she probably asked like, well, what do you have in mind? And he was like, oh, let's go get a nice dinner and then wreck the First National Bank of Durango, Colorado.
Oh, okay.
And she was like, I'm in. Yes, let's do this. And we will hear all about their heisty hookup right after this break.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Okay, I love Walker Hayes. He's amazing. He's so fun, such a great entertainer. And that's why I'm so excited that JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. The Walker Hayes for JCPenney collection is an upbeat playlist of instant classics with laid-back appeal and down-home vibes. As a dad of seven kids, he knows exactly what fathers want and need when it comes to their style. This collection reflects his casually cool styles with outdoor-inspired details and versatile colors. Perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th, just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Welcome back to the show, everybody.
So Nova Guthrie was born in Boone, Colorado in 1975, the youngest of 8 children.
Wow.
Her dad was a steel worker, her mom a school teacher, and they were strict Christian fundamentalists.
Mm.
They were not even allowed to have a TV in the house. So Nova lacked a lot of excitement in her life, but
yeah.
She was very clever and intelligent. She was in the National Honor Society, and she got a pre-med degree from Morningside College in Iowa. And she was pretty, but she was tough, too. Her college roommate said, quote, "She wasn't afraid to get dirty, and she didn't let anybody push her around. Friends called her bold, stubborn, opinionated, and courageous." And she and her brother had been selling vacuum cleaners in New Mexico when he introduced her to this handsome ex-baseball player who was 12 years older than her. So when Craig charmed her and promised her a life full of excitement, danger, and luxury, Nova was ready to jump on board.
Mm. I wonder, too, like, you know, she's the youngest of 8 children.
Mm-hmm.
She's probably used to having to work for attention.
I was thinking the same thing.
Right?
Surely there's some element of, like, look at me.
I know that can happen with the youngest children. I was 3rd of 4, mm-hmm. and I really need attention. My little sister, the 4th of 4, absolutely does not want attention. She's like, let me... be as invisible. Please don't bother me.
Right?
You know,
so true.
It's not true for everyone, but mm-hmm. sometimes.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you have middle child vibes?
I have middle younger child vibes for sure.
Younger child vibes.
Yeah, which means I have both issues.
Oh, fun. Oh, that's so fun for you.
Yeah, it's fun for you, I bet.
It is so fun for me also.
Whatever. That's what makes me so exciting. The constant demand for attention. Laugh louder at that.
I'm sorry.
I need it.
I'm laughing as loud as I can. This is every day.
It is every day.
Louder.
That
Why?
Was hilarious. And you're like, it was hilarious. I'm like, well, can you give me some, can I get a Pavlovian response, please? Something that triggers.
How about that?
It's better than nothing. See, that's good. Where's that when I need it?
I mean, you get it when you earn it.
Wow.
How about that?
All right. No, that's fair. It makes me better.
That's right. Anyway, back to Nova and Craig. So it was Halloween night in 1997 when Craig and Nova did their first lover's crime together and robbed the Bank of the Southwest in Durango, Colorado. And they cleaned out the vault of $60,000 and fled the city.
Jeez. And I remember, like, almost every number you hear at this point is, like, nearly double.
Right.
What it was, because the late 90s, you know, money was free back then.
Money.
You could just take it.
I mean, clearly not, because they're going to get in trouble for taking all this money.
Craig had learned a lot from all the bank robbers that he met in his 5 years in prison. And he'd taken elements from all their systems to put a plan together of his own. And this is not your classic... you know, walk up to the window, slip him a note that says, put all your money in the bag, lady, mm-hmm. you know, and then just walk out of the door kind of robbery. No, no, no. Instead, Craig and Nova would first go to small towns mostly. They avoided big cities. They would set themselves up in a hotel or a short-term rental. And then they would go out in the town and wine and dine at trendy local restaurants and get to know the locals. They were super charming. So they would go out and they'd meet all these locals, and according to the Denver Post, they would subtly learn from them which banks would be the best ones to hit and which day they should hit them up on. Mm-hmm. So, and if you asked me to do the same thing, I'm like, okay, I'll go walk up to a rich person's table and say, hey, pal, so which bank do you use and what days do you deposit your money?
I mean, seriously, how do you find this information?
I don't know.
Subtly?
They were good.
They must have been like, I'm looking for a new bank. You know what I mean? Like, do you like your bank? Who do you use? You know?
Oh my God. But you know what I hate is waiting in line at the bank. Do you know what it's, right. When's it dead? That's my question.
That's
when can I go
know.
In and not, there's nobody there.
Yeah, these were pre-mobile deposit days. You
right,
know?
Right. When's the security changed their shifts?
Yeah,
you know?
That's what I want.
Oh no, I've asked too much.
You've gone too far.
Don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious.
Don't be suspicious.
So after they learned which bank they needed to pick out, they would spend a few days scouting it out, you know, kind of walking by, glancing at who's standing outside. Nova might even go in and have a look around while she was asking for a money order or something innocuous like that.
Denver Post says they went to Bend, Oregon in December of 98 when tons of wealthy people were on high-end ski vacations. Mm. And they befriended a local cocktail waitress named Carrie Black. They gave their names as Will Hicks and Alex Santini, saying they were in town to party.
Okay.
And they rented a 2-month condo and joined a Gold's Gym. That's what I do when I'm ready to party. Join the gym.
Look, if you're the hot athletic type, and when you go on vacation, you continue to exercise.
Very true.
I've learned this when traveling with hot athletic types.
Who are you traveling with? Who's hot athletic?
You know. All right. Well, I've heard it. I've heard
I've
it
heard
around.
It from people. Well, this gym happened to be directly across the street from the Klamath First Federal Bank. Mm. So Nova and Craig would lift weights while they watched people come and go from the bank, and they learned the traffic patterns.
Also something you've got to be already an athletic person to do.
That's true.
Because I'm standing there and I'm like three pumps in. I'm like, okay.
Right.
I can't watch the bank anymore.
You could have like a 5-pounder, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right. Everyone's going to be, that guy's been here for 6 hours. He's not even sweating. Or he's sweating, but all he's done is like sit down and stand back up again a few times.
It's about the reps. Okay, yeah. Not the weight.
Yeah. I'm going for stamina here.
We all have different bests, okay?
No judgment zone. It says it right there on the wall.
Right there. Not at Gold's. That's Planet Fitness.
Yeah.
Gold's,
yeah,
is,
Gold's is like, please judge me.
A few days before they hit a bank, they would go out and buy a police scanner and a couple of walkie-talkies. And they would either steal or buy cheap cars to drive to the bank. And then they had another car ready to swap to for after the robbery. Mm. So they wouldn't show up and leave in the same car.
Gotcha. Now, Nova would stay outside in the car and act as a lookout while Craig went inside. And I'll say that it's been referenced that Craig was sometimes with another male who was never identified. Probably not the same guy every time, though. So he would just hire someone to kind of come in and help. He would wear gauze on his face or a mask to hide his identity. And he was very aggressive in his approach. Like I said, no slipping notes. Mm-hmm. He would walk in, pull out his gun right away, and point it straight at the bank teller's face. He would tell everyone to get down, and then they'd go around and tie everyone up at the wrists and ankles with either duct tape or zip ties. Nova would stay with him on the two-way radio, and she would alert him of anyone approaching the bank or any other signs of trouble while she listened to the police scanner for the code 211, which meant robbery in progress. But Craig, he would bust in with such force and terror that the bank employees were usually too startled to trip the alarm. Bank manager Bill Olson told Reader's Digest, quote, "I thought it was a joke at first. He got my attention when he cocked the gun and threatened to blow my head off. Every other word was an obscenity. He knew how to terrorize."
Ooh.
Yeah.
Craig would order the tellers to pull the shade on the drive-up window. Then he'd bring employees back to the vault and make one of them stuff duffel bags full of cash. Then he would tie that employee up last before escaping to the car. Nova would keep a bucket of water in the car. Craig would dunk all their loot to destroy any tracking devices that had been hidden inside. Then the two of them would drive to a pre-designated location and swap cars. It was over in minutes. Fast, efficient, and ruthless. After the Klamath robbery in Bend, they went back to their condo and counted $120,000 in cash.
Wow.
Which, again, for the record, is worth almost twice that.
Yeah, like over $200,000. My goodness. Then Craig would burn the mask that he wore, whatever zip ties or duct tape he had left over, even the jacket that he wore to the robbery got burned. And the next day, he would dispose of the walkie-talkies and the police scanner. Now, before they left town after the Bend robbery, Reader's Digest says that they gifted the title of their first car, the Subaru, to the cocktail waitress that they met, Carrie Black.
Oh.
They were like, "You were a real friendly kid. Here's a car for you."
You gave us some really good information.
Yeah, right? Couldn't have done it without you.
I know. She's like, "Ooh, do I keep this?"
Whoops. After that, they left town. Including the Bend, Oregon robbery, Craig and Nova went on a spree, hitting banks all across the West, from Oregon to Washington, Colorado, New Mexico, and even back in Arizona. Tom Van Meter, a robbery detective with the Scottsdale Police, said, quote, "I consider Craig one of the more intelligent bank robbers." And Detective Don Vogel said that what separated them from other bank robbers was their planning. He said, quote, "They were not impulsive. They did their homework. They did surveillance."
Detective Don Vogel, straight from 1920.
Yeah, yeah. He's been around.
He's been around. I've seen some things. I worked on Capone. No, they really do seem to think of everything.
Yeah,
I
definitely.
I mean, they got it all worked out.
Again,
they got a whole system going.
You know, somebody said, "Oh, I got caught because I drove away in the same car I showed up with." You know, another guy's like, you know what they always get me? They put a little electronic tracking device in the bag there.
That's right.
If I just thought to soak it in some water. And Craig's like, okay, taking notes, taking notes. Yes.
Man, this crime conference is great.
Right.
I'm learning so much.
It's really about the community.
They should charge me. Oh, wait, they do. They did charge me. That's
with
how
crime.
I'm here. With crime. Now, Craig was as adept at hiding from the law as he was at breaking it. He and Nova used fake names and fake IDs. They charmed locals. They never acted suspiciously. In between robberies, they took luxurious trips. They would go skiing in the mountains or fly to the tropics to go snorkel and surf. They blew their money quickly. Craig loved expensive clothes, fancy watches, and top-shelf booze. So they kept kind of a permanent vacation going, robbing banks, spending cash, in a crazy cycle of luxury and larceny.
I don't hate it.
I know. I mean, sounds pretty great. Wait a minute. American dream.
Who says crime doesn't pay? It sounds like it's paying really well.
I mean, isn't that the problem? Is that they're like, we tried saying that, and then it turned out to be a lie. Now, by the late 90s, they had stolen an estimated $500,000.
Oh.
And they had been featured multiple times on America's Most Wanted. So people were starting to recognize them.
Mm.
Wrong kind of fame.
Yeah.
And tips started flowing into the FBI, and they came close to being caught a few times. But they always stayed a few steps ahead.
Then after 2 years of criming, everything changed. Nova really wanted to visit her family back in Phoenix. She and Craig had been fighting, and she insisted that she be able to see them again despite the risks. Because, of course, again, America's Most Wanted, Unsolved Mysteries, their faces were out there. At the time, Nova didn't realize, though, that only Craig was technically a wanted fugitive. The FBI had no evidence linking her to any crime. But they decided that they were going to take the risk and stop in and see her parents and siblings. And of course, they were thrilled to see Nova, but they resented Craig for what he'd gotten her into. So her brother confronted Craig in the driveway while Nova was inside, and he told him, hey, buddy, you're going to get the hell out of here.
Mm-hmm.
You're done with my sister. You know, I'm going to give you an hour head start or whatever. He just told him to go. It's really funny, actually, in the Unsolved Mysteries episode I watched, the reenactment, they got this pretty boy playing the brother, and he says, you're going to get out of here, you're going to get in your fancy little car, and you're going to go. Which I thought was such a good, like, improv line. Like,
you get in your car.
Your fancy little car.
Your fancy little car.
So Craig left.
So they knew they were stealing all this stuff, but they didn't turn him in?
No.
Wow.
They were just like, you know, I think they really just wanted Nova back. And they were, they're very religious. So they're probably like, you know, God's plan, whatever, he'll get his.
Right.
But I think they wanted Nova back. And maybe if they turned him in, A, Nova could have gotten caught if the police came right there.
Sure.
Because they would also know Nova was back.
Uh-huh.
And B, Nova would probably resent them. And they're like, we don't want to push her away when she just got back.
I guess I can see that.
Yeah, that's my speculation station. I don't really know exactly.
Well, Nova learned that Craig had split, and she was a little uncertain about what to do next without him. And she spoke with her sister, who convinced her to at least talk with a religious leader. The police chaplain of the Colorado State Police, William Fay. And he agreed to speak with her confidentially. He told Unsolved Mysteries, quote, I think deep in her heart, she wanted to be forgiven, but she didn't know how to go about it.
Good chaplain voice.
Thank you. I thought so. I was like, I really want to get some weight.
Yeah, I felt it.
Now, Nova told him she thought she was in trouble. He read scripture to her and asked her, quote, what do you think it is now that God would want you to do? And Nova said, quote, turn myself in. Isn't that the voice you gave her?
Yeah, but it's not the right voice.
Nova said, quote, turn myself in.
That's probably more like it.
So Faye took her to the police station and they agreed to speak with the FBI. So was this the end of the line for these criminal cohorts? We will find out right after this break.
I'm I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Okay, I love Walker Hayes. He's amazing. He's so fun, such a great entertainer. And that's why I'm so excited that JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. The Walker Hayes for JCPenney collection is an upbeat playlist of instant classics with laid-back appeal and down-home vibes. As a dad of seven kids, he knows exactly what fathers want and need when it comes to their style. This collection reflects his casually cool styles with outdoor-inspired details and versatile colors. Perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th, just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Welcome back, crime conference goers. Welcome back to CrimeCon.
Don't miss dinner tonight at the commissary at 7 p.m. We'll be having mystery meat, flavorless mashed mush, and dry beans.
Mashed mush.
Stay out of jail, kids. The food
That's
is
right.
terrible.
The food is real bad.
And good luck getting a vegetarian option. I'll tell you that for my 12-hour stint.
Your hard time.
My hard time.
Canny jail.
It was hard.
And I wasn't. It was hard.
They had to apologize to me. I wasn't supposed to be there.
That's
so much.
That's so true.
Still had to pay money. God, what a racket. Our prison system's a racket. Anyway. So Nova sat with the FBI for a four-hour interview, and she laid everything out. She told them about all the robberies and how they were committed, all the details about everything. And they're probably like, he did what? Oh, my God, a bucket of water. That's brilliant. Why didn't we think of that? From now on, we're putting all our tracking devices in little plastic baggies. Well, FBI agent Jane Monroe told Unsolved Mysteries that they didn't arrest Nova at that time because, quote, they hadn't done any investigation to corroborate her story, and they didn't have enough probable cause to get an authorized warrant. Huh. Plus, they kind of hoped that she would just help them track down Craig. So they were very much like, we're here to help. You're not going to get any trouble. Just give us the info and we'll get this all sorted out. I mean, he was bad news, but Nova seemed to be just, some young girl who got charmed and swept up into this whole thing. Mm. Her friend Dan Canaw said that Nova, quote, would have to picture herself as a Robin Hood, not a Bonnie and Clyde. She was always the underdog. The fancy resorts, that doesn't fit her at all. That's a place to hide. Knowing her, she'd be more likely to hide out under bridges with the bums.
Hmm.
So I wonder if it was Nova's idea to give the car to that cocktail waitress.
Oh, maybe so. Yeah, she's got a bit of charity in her.
Yeah, let's do some good with all this.
But it seems like the fancy resorts do suit her pretty well.
Yeah. Well, maybe. It might have been all Craig's,
I suppose,
plan to do that. And she's just like, sure. I mean, sounds good. You want to go to snorkel in the tropics? I mean, I'm not going to not have fun doing that.
Sure.
But maybe she was like, but I'm glad that we're supporting all these workers.
All the local businesses.
All the local businesses.
We have to eat local when we're there.
Yeah.
But after her sudden and surprising cooperation with the FBI, Nova made another unexpected move. She contacted Craig, met with him, and together they disappeared again.
Oh.
Psychologist Frank Fave from Temple University said, quote, she had second thoughts about going with Craig, stepped back from the brink, then realized, it's boring back here. I'm going back to the brink.
I love that quote.
So
true.
Let me get back to the brink.
So true.
He said the thrill of the lifestyle was just too enticing. He added, quote, my guess is that after these robberies, it's into bed. It's a thrill. It's exciting. You just want to keep the thrill going.
Yes,
I guess
like
he's saying they would like go do it afterwards.
Yeah, there's like a sexual charge.
Yeah, so full of energy.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Sure, sure.
And they'd be like, God, you're so hot.
Yeah.
When you ran in there and cocked a gun in that poor Teller's face.
Right.
I was like, wow, what an underdog.
Baby, when you got on the radio and were like, I haven't heard anyone say 211 yet.
Ooh.
I was just like, man, that's the girl for me. Well, after Nova disappeared, the FBI was fully on this case. They pored over her interview with all 4 hours of footage, and they learned that they almost always stayed at a Super 8 motel in between robberies. So the detective sent their photo to every Super 8 in the country. They sent swarms of FBI agents to Craig's son's baseball games, expecting maybe he'll show up for the championship or something, but Craig never showed.
His son's like, I could have told you that.
I know, right?
I look for him every time. He's never there.
Be on the lookout for dad of the year.
I know, right? But Barry Bonds comes to my campus.
If only Lori Pulzado had married Barry Bonds afterwards.
She's probably thought the same thing. You know?
Well, that fall, 1999, Craig and Nova allegedly robbed a bank in Spokane, Washington before leaving the country. Witnesses saw them at a hockey game in Nova Scotia in Canada before they vanished without being seen again for years. Another episode of Unsolved Mysteries came out about them, as well as America's Most Wanted. But Craig and Nova were long gone. First, they went to Belize, and they spent about 8 months snorkeling and fishing on the paradise island of Ambergris Cay. And I did look up some pictures, and I'm ready when you are. Let's go.
All right. Go rob a bank for this.
I've considered it. You know, it's like I want to go that badly, but I could never pull it off. I don't have the stamina. Clearly, I couldn't spend 8 hours at the gym watching a bank.
Obviously, me neither.
Right?
I would definitely like my. I would be like thinking other things and completely like blank out, like zone out. I'd be like, oh, I forgot I was even looking at
the bank. I've been watching the Wendy's.
The sign spinner out there is just right. So distracting.
Dreaming about those French fries.
Well, anyway, their money was running thin. And Nova would take work at local restaurants while Craig played around in day trading, which he had some talent for. And they kept moving, going on to other countries like England and Greece. But after the September 11th attacks in 2001, they knew that security would be way too high to return to the United States again. So they kept moving. And in 2003, they ended up in Cape Town, South Africa, where Nova got a job at a hotspot called the Bossa Nova Club under the name Andy Brown. Craig went by Dane, and he visited the club frequently while he spent the days working stocks online.
But their criminal days actually seemed to be way behind them.
Hmm.
They blended in. They had these jobs. They drove a used Volkswagen Beetle. Patrons and coworkers said that Andy and Dane were pleasant, lovely people who worked with professional diligence and helped out around town.
Hmm.
But then, a South African tourist was in the U.S., and she saw a wanted notice. And on it was a picture of Andy, the manager at the Bossa Nova Club.
Hmm.
So she contacted the FBI, and she said, all the South Africans just braced themselves for this accent that's coming. I shouldn't, should I? It's the hardest accent to do.
It's incredibly hard.
Leo in that Blood Diamond movie, I don't even think he pulled it off.
No. A lot of people didn't think that.
No. I'm channeling my Diant word.
Oh, yeah.
I can't channel them anymore. They suck.
I know.
I used to love Diant word, but that guy sucks. All right, so this South African woman contacted the FBI, and she was like, She was like,
what was she like? She was like,
hey, I know that lady. I think I know that lady. Hey, I know that lady.
Oh, she's in District 9.
Yeah. De Prawns.
De Prawns.
I love District 9.
It's a great movie.
Such a good
movie.
An FBI agent, Mike Sanborn, thought that this was a long shot. Some club manager in South Africa, like a likely story. But he contacted a connection that he had in South Africa to ask what Cape Town was like. And he got a one-sentence response. Quote, Cape Town is a fugitive haven.
Oh.
So
it's
Agent
right
Sanborn's
there
like,
on the tourist posters.
Maybe I'll take a closer look. Yeah. Cape Town. the home of Crime Conference 2023. Well, Agent Sanborn went to the Bossa Nova Club's website and just started pouring through pictures from their parties, hundreds of photos. And he said, quote, I got to about picture 300, and there she was, plain as day.
Dang. Now, South Africa has an extradition treaty with the U.S., so local police helped the FBI stake out the club. They were pretty sure that Andy, this American girl with tattoos that matched Nova's, was the girl they were looking for. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't until Craig walked in and kissed her that they knew for sure it was them.
Oh, the kiss of death.
Kiss of death.
Right.
The Judas kiss. Except it also got him arrested.
Right. He didn't even know he was doing it.
Now, 4 nights later, in their cheap Oceanside apartment, police arrested them without incident. There was a pile of fake passports in the apartment, but no weapons or cash. An agent said, quote, they were living near the poverty level. And the owner of the club, Karapetis, had lent them money a few times, and he was shocked when he learned the truth about them. He said Nova had access to all the club's bank codes and accounts, and said, quote, they could have taken close to $500,000. It seems obvious to me that they came here to change.
Yeah. I mean, it really does seem like that. She was running their books.
I guess so. I mean, would you steal from the place you worked?
Well, here's the thing. I mean...
I guess not until you were ready to move on to
Well, that's
place.
Yeah, that's part of it. I mean, first of all, it's not like, oh, well, you're absolved of your crimes because you stopped doing them, obviously.
Right.
But it does seem like they didn't want to do it anymore. I mean, they'd been there for years.
Mm-hmm.
They led a pretty low-key lifestyle. I think that they were just looking for a place to live on the beach and snorkel and kind of realized, I think they sort of found what they wanted. They got enough of that thrill.
Yeah.
And they were like, all right, well, what were we getting out of it once the adrenaline wore off? You know, we were chilling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, beach bum life.
Beach bums. Mm-hmm. They were just, you know, beach bums was hundreds of thousands of dollars. And now they were like, well, let's try it with just some easy jobs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Go straight.
Yeah. I think they took some pride in their work and made a lot of friends, too. Again, the community loved them.
Right.
So I could see them being like, let's just stay here. Let's quit running.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Craig said that, too. He said, you know, we were done. We were relaxed. We were trying to blend in. We were tired of running and we kind of stopped looking over our shoulders, which is why I think Nova's picture ended up online. And that kiss they shared was likely their last.
Mm-hmm.
After extradition, Nova got sent to Denver for arraignment, and Craig went to Phoenix. And in May of 2003, Nova Guthrie pleaded guilty to 3 counts of robbery and agreed to testify against Craig Pritchard as part of her plea deal. She faced up to 20 years in prison, but she was sentenced in September of that year to 10 years, plus $231,000 in restitution. Now, Craig was a suspect in about 12 bank robberies in total. But under his plea deal, he was charged and pled guilty to only 3. He faced up to 80 years in prison, but he was sentenced to 22 years with over $200,000 in restitution and $1 million in fines.
Oh,
yeah.
Dang.
Yeah.
His court-appointed lawyer, Patricia Guitre, said her office was flooded with calls from national news outlets, TV shows, Dateline, Access Hollywood, and more, including Hollywood producers seeking movie rights.
Mm.
But she said she was not willing to be his entertainment agent.
Mm.
And she also believed that if it weren't for the romantic connection between him and Nova, nobody would have even noticed this story.
Yeah.
It would have just been some 2-bit bank robbers.
We sure wouldn't be telling it.
That's true. When asked what Craig thought of the media attention, according to the East Valley Tribune, Geetra replied, quote, "She didn't care what he thought."
She does not seem fond of this guy as her client.
She's like, "Listen, the guy stole. I'm just trying to do my job and get him off my client list. Right?
I'm a court-appointed lawyer. Uh-huh. I ain't trying to take up." I love that, too, that she's like, I could see her screaming in the phone like, "Listen, he's just a bank robber. If it weren't for his girlfriend, if they weren't attractive, if they weren't all these things, you would not care. So get off my case." "I'm trying to get off this case.
I'm trying to get off this case, so you get off mine." Now, the Tribune also says that if Craig does see any financial gains from the media attention, like selling his rights to a movie, quote, "the courts are likely to mandate the money be used for restitution."
Right. Their friend, the nightclub owner Karapetis, said that they should be considered for parole because, quote, "they're not the same people they were and they never hurt anybody." But Max Alexander of Reader's Digest cites Craig's first wife, Lori Pulzato, who used to be a bank teller, but quit herself after being robbed at gunpoint in a totally separate incident. She said, quote, "the mental duress during robbery is extreme. What flashes through your mind is your kids, and you're just praying, please don't kill me." And she says their kids together are victims as well. They were stigmatized in school and in sports because of their biological father's infamy. You know, so it wasn't long before kids realized who they were.
Right.
And now they're getting teased and harassed and probably judged, I imagine, unfairly.
Sure. So she's feeling like they did hurt people, even though they did not.
100%. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I really see that, too. And that's the hard part of being like, hey, this lifestyle ain't so bad. Nobody gets hurt. They got all this money. They're vacationing. Right. They're snorkeling. They're going to the skiing. But people do get hurt. I mean, this is a terrifying, traumatizing experience. And you're in a criminal situation where you don't know if your life is in danger. That doesn't go away.
Yeah. And I guess, at least with Lori, her career ended, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So
yeah.
It's like he was the Barry Bonds for a teller.
Wow.
Coming in, ruining their future, messing up their career.
Oh, Craig, you've become the thing you hate the most.
You've become the Barry Bonds for bank tellers across the West.
Damn.
Karapetis also says that he spoke to Craig in prison, who told him that he feels responsible for what he did to Nova, that, quote, he feels he's the one who got her into trouble. But Alexander reports that Nova's own family does not hold that same sympathy for her. Mm. Her mom said, quote, had she served the Lord and not strayed from what she knew, this would not have happened. And her brother, who introduced Nova to Craig, said, quote, we all follow a path, don't we? He had a life to lead, and she had a choice to follow. Wow. And I kind of agree with that.
She should have gotten in her fancy little car and left.
Go.
I mean, I do agree with that. We do make choices. Mm-hmm. But I also would also attribute, possibly, I don't know them. Her mother is supposed to be a lovely person who, like, cares for the elderly in town and stuff like that. But also, like, you know, they had very strict rules and upbringing and, like, you know, it's one out of eight is statistically going to act out in extreme ways.
Statistically.
Just saying, I people make their own choices and they break the law. But we also need to look at, you know, where they came from and what kind of environment they were in and that kind of thing, too. I'm not saying there's fault there, but maybe look inward, too. And don't just brush it off as like, well, that's your problem, child I raised.
No, I get that. I do hate it as an excuse for not taking accountability. Like, you have, you know, Nova had a lot of agency in this story to make her decisions as well.
Absolutely.
So it's kind of like, partly you want to be like, I do think that there's some extenuating circumstances and this guy's very charming and you can get caught up and all that stuff. But you have to still own the fact that, like, but I am a unique individual and I can make my own choices and I had my own. I had a time where I got to say yes or no.
Right.
And I made my decision.
And
you know
I was
what I mean?
Aware of the consequences and who could be hurt and all this stuff and whatever you did to justify it to yourself. I think it's clear that Nova's choices aren't Craig's responsibility.
Right.
But maybe her family could be a little more sympathetic since I think they're partly their responsibility a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least they're involved in those choices.
Yeah.
Well, Nova has served her time. She has since been released. And from what we could find, she appears to be teaching yoga at an upscale resort in Costa Rica.
Well, okay.
I find this website and her Nova Guthrie teaches here. And I'm looking at this picture they've got, her headshot and her old pictures. And I'm like, yeah, that's her. But they surprisingly don't mention in her bio on the website her criminal past. It doesn't come up. Hmm. And personally, I say that we all just leave Nova alone and let her get on with her life.
Yeah.
But Craig is due out of prison in 2025. And he'll have 3 years of monitored parole after that. Now, whether they meet up again, that's anyone's guess. But Karapetis said both of them immediately asked about the other when he visited them in jail. He had found an email that Craig wrote to Nova only a few hours before their arrest, where Craig said, quote, "Thank you, princess, for always taking care of me. I don't know what I'd do without you." LA Times writes that when asked back in 2003 before they went to jail if they would have any future contact, Craig said in his interview, quote, "That would be up to Nova. I hope so." And in her interview, Nova told them, quote, "It's just a matter of time."
Okay, so they're still in love and wanting to be together.
They thought they would be in 2003. With that beach life. Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, 22 years later, will they meet back up again? Has Nova moved on and reconsidered, like, what Craig put her through and the life he brought her into and the choices she made? Or is she like, you know what, forget all about it. We'd found a life together outside of crime.
Right.
And we transcended it and we still belong together. Who knows? I want to know. Part of me, it's tough with this. This is one of those stories where I'm like, man, this Craig sucks. He was so awful to his first wife.
Yeah.
And obviously, like, terrorized quite a few people who have lasting trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And he definitely deserved to go to jail and get fined a ton of money. But dang it, if the lover in me doesn't just want those kids to get back together and live happily ever after.
Those crazy kids, they learned their lesson. I mean, you hope.
You hope. And I do believe that, you know, for all the many near infinite problems that we have in our court and prison system, I do generally think that if someone gets sentenced and they serve that sentence and then they can keep their shit together when they get out, you know, all right, go on, live your life. I don't have to be your friend.
No.
But, you know, I'm not going to go protest outside your house and throw mud at your windows or anything like that either.
Right. Especially for nonviolent crimes or something like this. Or again, I mean, as we say, there is some violent element.
Yeah.
Because people are getting traumatized from the gun in their face and screaming at them and all that. But he actually never, like, did physical damage or took a life or anything. Yeah. So, yeah, it would be like,
well,
you did your time, you know, you paid your debt to society. I guess you're good now, right?
And the other side of it, too, of course, that is just a problem I can't solve, is that what level of retribution can we do upon this person that brings peace back to their victims?
Mm.
You know, and I don't think there is a level. I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like having to worry about it. That's why I elect other people to deal with those problems.
Well, and it's probably like if you were one of those tellers, right? Yeah. And someone asked you, well, what do you want?
Yeah.
I mean, likely your answer is going to be, I don't want them to do it anymore. I just don't want anyone else to go through what I went through.
I think,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's the rise above it all, the emotion answer. Sure.
Sure. I mean, of course, some people are like, I wish I could kick him off in the nuts or something.
Yeah. No, like, that's what they should let you do.
They should just let you kick him in the nuts.
Kick him in the nuts. Do you feel better? I do, actually.
I feel
trauma
a little
gone.
Better. I faced my traumatizer.
New form
I
of therapy.
I punished him in some way. No, but I just, so I feel like if they really are seriously like, we're done with crime, we were trying to lead a normal straight life in South Africa, and we would be yoga instructors and day traders in Costa Rica or whatever. Uh-huh. I mean, that's kind of the best you can hope for.
Right.
Right? And then, of course, the upcoming book, The Heart of Nova Guthrie.
The Heart of Nova Guthrie.
Which Reese Witherspoon is adapting.
Well, stay tuned for, I think we're up to an 18-picture deal with HBO right now.
I think so, right? Several seasons of television as
so
well.
So this will definitely be one of them.
I kind of want to put together a crime con.
Oh, man. We got to call our friends over at Ridiculous Crime.
Now, yes, they should definitely be a part. And this could be a really cool sting operation.
Ooh.
That would then make its own great movie because it's us coming up with a crime con. All the criminals come.
Oh.
Some of my best practices. Arrested. Arrested.
So you're a narc.
I'm a narc.
Is what it is.
But only for like bad criminals.
Only the bad ones.
Only the bad ones.
All right. Well, if you've ever done anything wrong, don't trust Diana.
Don't trust me. I'm over here like, why didn't her parents turn her in?
Damn. Yeah. Wow. You really are.
But I do think do you not get in trouble for that? Like if you know someone's committing crimes, like,
the only thing is she wasn't wanted.
Oh, right.
At the time.
But they knew she was doing stuff.
I don't think that they necessarily knew she was doing stuff. Again, there was no evidence saying Noah ever committed a crime. All they knew was that she was with him and he was committing crimes.
I see. Okay. So they were just like, get away from your criminal.
They really just wanted her away from him. Whatever. Come back to the light. Mm-hmm. Let's start over. You're safe here with us.
I see.
Just get away from that loser. Yeah.
Well, this was a crazy story about a very loving criminal couple.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, again, weird part of me is rooting for him.
Mm-hmm.
But also, this guy sucks. And also, I want to live a life where I'm just like, get large amounts of cash and then blow it in the tropics. And then get more cash.
I know, you can see the attraction.
What's the non-crime version of that? Podcasting, right?
I think it's having a job.
A traveling podcast show.
A traveling podcast
show. We just make a bunch of money and then spend a bunch of money. That's all I need. I don't need a home.
Oh.
Well, I mean, I need somewhere to live, but just temporarily until I move to the next place.
Yeah. All right. It's like a nomad, living that nomad life.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So email us and tell us how much money you would donate to our travel show.
Our nomad life.
Our nomad life. EverTickRomance@gmail.com.
Right. Or slide into the DMs on Instagram. I'm at Dynamite Boom.
And I'm at Oh Great, It's Eli.
And the show is at RidicRomance.
That's right. Thank you so much for tuning in today and spending your time with us. We love hearing from you. Keep those 5-star reviews coming. We love those too. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch y'all at the next one.
Love you. Bye. Bye-bye.
So long, friends. It's time to go. Thanks for listening to our show. Tell your friends, neighbors, uncles, and aunts to listen to our show, Ridiculous Romance.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.